ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. நிகாமகல்பதருர்கலிதம் பலம் சுகமுகாதமிருதத்ராவசம்யுதம் பிபாத பகவதம் ரசமலயம் முகுரகோ ரசிகா புவி பவுக்கஹ முகம் கரோதி வச்சலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் யத் கிருபாதமகம் வந்தே ஸ்ரீகுரும் தினதரணம் பரமானந்த மாதவம் தம் ஸ்ரீமத் கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய தேவம் வந்தே ஜகத்குரும் யஸ்யானுகம்பயஸ்வாபி மகப்தி சந்தரேத்சுகம். We read today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 8, entitled The Character of Bharata Maharaj, the last text of the chapter, number 31. It is written in prose, so we will read just the Sanskrit without singing it. Tasmin api balam pratikshamana sangaccha brisham utvikna atma sahachara shushka parna trina viruddha vartamano mrigatva nimitta vasanam eva ganayam mrigashariram tirtodaka klinnam utsasarja. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Tasmin api, in that ashram, pulaha ashram, kalam, the end of the duration of life in the dear body, pratikshamana, always waiting for, sangat, from association, cha, and, brisham, constantly, utvikna, full of anxiety, atma sahachara, having the super soul as the only constant companion. In parentheses, no one should think of being alone. Shushka parna trinna viruddha, by eating only the dry leaves and herbs, vartamana existing, mrigatva nimitta, of the course of a deer's body, avasanam, the end, eva, only, ganayam, considering, mriga shariram, the body of a deer, tirtha udaka klinnam, bathing in the water of that holy place, utsasarja, gave up. Translation: remaining in that ashram, the great king, Bharata Maharaj, was now very careful not to fall victim to bad association. Without disclosing his past to anyone, he remained in that ashrama and ate dry leaves only. He was not exactly alone, for he had the association of the super soul. In this way, he waited for death in the body of a deer. Bathing in that holy place, he finally gave up that body. Purport: holy places like Vrindavan, Haridwar, Prayag, and Jagannath Puri are especially meant for the execution of devotional service. Vrindavan specifically is the most exalted and preferred holy place for Vaishnava devotees of Lord Krishna who are aspiring to return back to Godhead, the Vaikuntha planets. interesting. Prabhupada says Vrindavan, but he's talking about the Vaikuntha planets. Sometimes we are very much emphasizing rasa, right? And Prabhupada does, but sometimes he's not so. He seems to. The meaning of Vaikuntha means the spiritual world in general, and Goloka Vrindavan is the presiding planet of the Vaikuntha planets. So devotees who want to live in Vrindavan, which is the most exalted and preferred holy place for Vaishnava devotees of Lord Krishna, who are aspiring to return back to Godhead, the Vaikuntha planets. There are many devotees in Vrindavan who regularly bathe in the Yamuna, and this cleanses all the contamination of the material world. By constantly chanting and hearing the holy names and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, one certainly becomes purified and becomes a fit candidate for liberation. However, if one purposefully falls victim to sense gratification, he has to be punished, at least for one lifetime, like Bharata Maharaj. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the fifth canto, eighth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled A Description of the Character of Bharata Maharaj. Translation again. Remaining in that ashram, the great king Bharata Maharaj was now very careful not to fall victim to bad association, without disclosing his past to anyone. He remained in that ashrama and ate dry leaves only. He was not exactly alone, for he had the association of the super soul. In this way, he waited for death in the body of a deer. Bathing in that holy place, he finally gave up that body. This is a very profound section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, in one way will be like a redundancy, because the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is profound. But this is especially, it's a very instructive story and very relevant to any devotee of the Lord who is aspiring, as Srila Prabhupada writes here, is aspiring to go back home, back to Godhead. And generally we want to go back to Godhead in this very lifetime, isn't it? This is what generally we say, we want to go back to Godhead in this very lifetime. But to say it is very quick. This is what, in Spain, I was born in Spain, this is something, when something is difficult, you say it very quick. Meaning that it's very easy to speak it, to say it, but to make it happen is not that easy. Only it is possible by the mercy of the Lord. And we see that here, for example, we see that a very advanced devotee, imagine the position of Bharata Maharaj. He was the world emperor. The whole world had been named after him. Bharata Varsha. Before, the world was named differently. But then when Bharata Maharaj ruled, his governance was so expert, he became so dear to the citizens that they decided to change the name of the planet. Imagine changing the name of a country after the king or the ruler. the president. What to speak of changing the name of the wall? How much that person must be dear to the citizens? So he had achieved the greatest fame. He was so famous. He had a wonderful family. Everything was going smoothly in life. Very wonderful sons. He had 100 sons. Imagine, 100 sons who were like sons. Like, they were very special people. 9 of them became great sages, the Navayogendras, and the others, they were great princes, and Bharata became the king. So he was successful. No, I'm mixing here, actually. I have mixed Bharata with Rishabhadev. I mix here, but anyway, Bharata Maharaj, even though the 100 sons, he was one of the 100 sons of Maharaj Rishabhadev. So we could say he was coming from a great lineage, such a lineage, his father, Maharaj Rishabhadev, the incarnation of God. So he was the son of God's incarnation. Imagine what it is to be that. And he had achieved a very great state of devotional service to the point in which he was able to abandon such opulent position without any endeavor. The Bhagavatam says he did it as someone, when someone goes to the toilet, no one feels repentant from having gone to the toilet to answer the calls of nature. Everybody feels relief. So he felt relief that he retired to the forest to practice devotional service, and he will not be burdened by all his material opulence. He was naturally detached. He had attained the stage of Bhava Bhakti. Attraction, divine attraction for the Lord with great ecstasy. He will experience frequently the waves of divine ecstasy within his heart. Imagine his position. But to such a great personality, it took 2 more lifetimes to go back to Godhead. So sometimes we say, we take it for granted. And maybe now we are a bit more realistic in our making calculations. In the beginning of the movement, I will say it's a combination of, course it can be analyzed in different ways, but one way of analyzing is, it was a combination of youthful enthusiasm, naiveness, we were naive sometimes, and triumphalism. You call it triumphalism? Triumphalism. We are going to conquer the world in 18 days. We go, like in the Battle of Kurukshetra, there was a quote by Srila Prabhupada, if you will have faith, you will conquer the world in 18 days. So yes, we're going to do it in 18 days. We conquer, and we become the best in the world. So it was, and of course, naturally, it indicates certain degree of immaturity. That's not to say that that's for us to judge our own maturity or lack of it. But ultimately, in those years, that was there. And still we may carry with us, because as we see from this story, it is not a matter of a few years. It may be a matter of lifetimes, depending on how we do things. It is a fact, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, don't worry, it is possible. success is guaranteed if you endeavor by the proper means. Arjuna is concerned in chapter 6 of the Gita. He says that the process of yoga, which you have explained, seems to me very complex, because to control the mind is more difficult than controlling the wind. Imagine controlling an hurricane. Sometimes here there is some wind, not too much, I mean, compared to other places where there are these tropical storms. Here is windy, but not too much. But imagine try to control a tropical storm. Have you experienced any? I experienced one and was not too heavy last year when I visited Saswarup Maharaj in America. I arrived just the day the tropical storm was arriving, and it was announced it was an hurricane. So we had to get ready for it. So luckily arrived to the place. So finally when it reached upstate New York, where Maharaj has his ashram, it was only tropical storm, but you couldn't go out. It was very heavy wind. Some trees fell apart, were uprooted. So imagine if trees are uprooted, how a mortal, a human being, how can control the wind? So Arjuna says that controlling the mind, it seems to him more difficult than controlling the wind. But Krishna answers, he says, don't worry, it's fine. That's true, you are right that it's difficult. But abhyasena vairagyena. If you practice with detachment, then it is possible. It is possible. And then Krishna says that for a transcendentalist who endeavors by the proper means, success is guaranteed. Arjuna still feels doubtful, and he asks another question. Anybody remembers what was his next question? Chapter 6 of the Gita. He still had a doubt. Yes, good. Yes, he asked about the destiny of the transcendentalist who doesn't made it. Like he says, okay, you say it's easy. He was as if thinking, maybe easy for you, you are God, you are Yogeshwara. But for other people, what happens if I don't made it? Okay, you tell me to go for it, but if I go for it and I don't made it, then what will happen? I will not have achieved anything. Spiritually, I will not have achieved success, and materially, I will have also failed. And he uses the example Kanchanavele Mataji mentioned, like a riven cloud. The riven cloud, it's in the middle of the sky, and there is not a small cloud lost. So it seems that one is lost. No spiritual life, no material life. And this could very well be the doubt for any of us at any time. Could that happen? That could happen. Any of us at any time. Because actually, as embodied souls, we could say we have a kind of a spiritual schizophrenia. This is like, I think it's a good analogy. Because on the one hand, the constitutional position of the spirit soul, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Sri Sanatana Goswami, is Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishnera Nityadas, eternally Krishna's servants. And this is our natural condition of existence. Ananda Mayo Vyasat, always seeking for transcendental happiness, Ananda. And this is who we really are. This is the condition of the self. On the other hand, in the embodied condition of existence, the term Nityabaddha is used, eternally conditioned. Srila Prabhupada says, the conditioning of the soul exists since time immemorial, which means we will not be able to make a calculation. The greatest mathematicians in the world will not be able to state the number of lifetimes that the soul is living in conditional life. Imagine, write one and many zeros. Many zeros, zero, 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 up to Durbuy. And this is just to put a limit, but imagine zeros up to Durbuy. How many zeros is that? What number? How many lifetimes we are in the material world? So it is practically impossible to calculate Nityabaddha, which means we have become accustomed to such type of life, conditional life. And we could say that the constitutional position, sometimes we talk about Tathastha Shakti, Tathastha Shakti. Tathastha Shakti means schizophrenia, spiritual schizophrenia, in one way. It's because it means the soul is spiritual, as Bhagavad Gita states. Aparayam mitastvam yam prakritim vidhi me param. Jiva Bhutam Mahabahu. The Jiva Bhuta, the soul, is spiritual by nature. It is defined by Krishna's superior energy. But yet, Tathastha has the tendency to go astray. Like sometimes we give the example of the car, where the direction doesn't function. Have you experienced that car? I have experience going with somebody else who was the driver. I do not drive. And the car had a defect that will have the tendency to go to the side. So the driver had to be correcting the direction every 30 seconds. And even if you are not a driver, you don't feel very comfortable in such a ride. So this is more or less the condition of the soul in the material existence. That we have the tendency to go astray, and this may happen to anyone at any time. Because material body means, Srila Prabhupada explains this in some of his lectures, it's a symptom of materialistic mentality, it's a symptom of sinful activity. In the Jewish Christian tradition, particularly in Christian tradition, it's proved to be more precise, the original sin is mentioned. Original sin. So, And actually in most of the Christians, as they have been taught by the prominent churches, consider that constitutionally we are sinful. Constitutionally we are sinful. And although we will say no, constitutionally we are eternally Krishna's servants. We are pure self, pure Atma. although that's the revelation given in Vedic scriptures, but to a certain extent we could take that there is some element of truth, that tendency to fall down for the conditioned soul. Is a tatashta element. And this tatashta tendency, which tatashta simply means we are sparks of the supreme fire. Krishna is compared to the supreme fire, and we are, and he is infinite, he is unlimited. He is a fire, imagine an unlimited fire. And it's a fire of divine, of course he's a person, I don't mean to preach Mayavad here, I mean, or impersonal, but sometimes the analogy is given. He's a personal fire, but unlimited, fire of love, fire of divine qualities. All the divine qualities are manifest in the personality of Godhead in unlimited degree. Wealth, beauty, knowledge, renunciation. 64 qualities are described in Nectar of Devotion. He can communicate with any living being at any time. Like we see here, Bharata Maharaj, he has taken the body of a deer. Still he's called Bharata Maharaj because he's the same person. But now he's an animal. He has no name. He's an anonymous animal. Before he was the great king, Bharata, very famous, everybody was paying obeisances to him. The great Maharaj, everybody was offering respect, singing his glories. Now he was an anonymous deer. And what is the difference, actually? From the point of view of the real self, there is no difference. Actually, it is more safe to be the anonymous deer. And he chose to remain an anonymous deer in the community, in the Pulaha Ashram where he was visiting. He will go there to take association, but he will spend time alone in meditation, waiting for the suitable time to become purified from his deviation. So going back to the point I wanted to make, that we suffer this spiritual schizophrenia as embodied souls to a greater or lesser degree. And we shouldn't take it for granted. In one sense, I mean, there are the two statements, so two levels of realization that can be combined, even if they seem contradictory. On the one hand, the Lord says that for someone who surrenders unto me, even once, I'll give guidance, I'll take care of that particular soul. Somebody who tells me once, sincerely, my dear Lord, I am yours. Krishna says, Lord Ramachandra, he says, I take care, I will give protection to that devotee. So in that sense, we can say, yes, it's guaranteed. Once we start devotional service, it's guaranteed that we will go back home, back to Godhead. But it is not guaranteed that we will make it in one lifetime as we used to dream when we were young. There is no guarantee. We may make it, we may not. And actually it is very exceptional. Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschim mam veti tatvataha. Krishna says, to know me in truth is very difficult. among thousands and thousands of human beings, there may be some, very few, who engage in my service. And among those who engage in my service, maybe one, very few know me truly. So this we can take from this narrative of Bharata Maharaj, we can take one of the lessons we can take, we should be careful with being triumphalistic. We should be careful in a spiritual life to take it for granted. I made it. I'm coming back to what open space. I'm arriving. We do not enter into the spiritual world like that. And if there is even a pinch of that attitude, the Lord will do something so that we enter with the proper attitude into the spiritual world. And this is what the Lord did to Bharata Maharaj. Somehow or other, he committed an offense. Somehow or other. He was actually, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he was at the stage of Baba Bhakti. Baba Bhakti, that's a very, very advanced stage. It's a stage where a spiritual practitioner is not anymore an ordinary, is not a practitioner, technically speaking. It's actually a perfected soul who is missing just a little to fully mature. But it's a stage where the spiritual body becomes revealed. The true spiritual identity becomes perceived by such a transcendentalist. And yet, two more lifetimes. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the only reason that this could happen is due to committing an offense. Otherwise, there are no anarthas, material conditioning, which go as far as the Bhava stage other than those anarthas which arise from Nama Parada, and generally speaking, Vaishnava Aparada is a very prominent one that can be committed even unconsciously. In the case of Bharata Maharaj, was not. Prabhupada explains that he's choosing to enjoy his Baba of protecting the deer, his king Baba. That was his own choice. He did it, even here again, Prabhupada says, because he chose, if one purposefully falls, so he purposefully fell from his spiritual platform. He chose to fall. However, there is a connection between this purposefully choosing and lacking devotee association. The offense committed by Bharata Maharaj is described implicitly in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the description of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Sri Rupa Goswami. There is a section where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that when we plant the seed of bhakti, the bhakti creeper starts to grow, and that we should protect that divine plant, we should protect it by fencing it around. And that fence is compared to being surrounded by the association of devotees. by living in the association of devotees, we are protected. Tandera charana sevi bhakta sanevas janame janame hoy ei abhilash. Shri Narottam Das Thakur, he prays that it doesn't matter if I have to take birth again and again. Actually, he's accepting, he's not thinking, he's not triumphalistic that I'm going to make it in this lifetime, but he's assuming most probably I will take birth again. So I pray to take birth in the association. My desire is to be associated with the devotees, to be at the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord, and to serve them. This is my wish. Birth, janame, janame. Birth after birth. So, in this section, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that if one offends a devotee, this is the Hati Mata offense, is the maddened elephant offense. If a maddened elephant, recently when I was in Bangalore for a yoga conference in the Art of Living Foundation Ashram, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was there also, so I felt protected in that, the association of devotees, pure devotees, was present in the place. Even going to other ashrams, if there is no direct devotion to Krishna, is actually dangerous. Even if everything is very, very pure from the point of view of the mode of goodness, everything was very well organized, very clean, very paka. And they had two elephants. They had one she-elephant and one male-elephant. And Radhanath Maharaj, when they took us for a tour, asked them, because Maharaj has been living in India for so many years, so he knows that male-elephants can be really dangerous. The female elephants, they are okay, they will not get mad. They can be taken care of, but a male elephant, if he gets mad, can destroy the whole village. What to speak of a garden in the village? Will destroy the whole village, and people will be killed, will be very dangerous. The elephant will have to be killed. So he asked them about that, because in Mayapur, I believe the two elephants we have are female elephants, no? It's a Lakshmi elephant. I think there are two now, or one? Two. They are female elephants. So, anyway, probably from past experience or from hearing from experts, devotees knew that Maharaj knew this, and he mentioned it to them. And so this mad elephant offense is to offend other Vaishnavas. And Srila Prabhupada, in commenting on this, he says that if one, I'll read it and I don't have to repeat it. This is Madhya Lila, chapter 19, verses 156, 157, in case you want to look at them more carefully later on. I'll read the two verses and then some excerpts from Srila Prabhupada's purports to both verses. If the devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava while cultivating the creeper of devotional service in the material world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creeper are dried up. The gardener must defend the creeper by fencing it all around so that the powerful elephant of offenses may not enter. And now Prabhupada writes, one who is actually serious about advancing in devotional service should desire only to satisfy the previous acharyas, Echai Gosai Yar Mui Tardas. One should always think of oneself as a servant of the servant of the acharyas, and thinking this, one should live in the society of Vaishnavas. However, if one thinks that he has become very mature and can live separate from the association of Vaishnavas, and thus gives up all the regulative principles due to offending a Vaishnava, one's position becomes very dangerous. So abandoning the association of devotees is an offense, Prabhupada says. So even though Bharata Maharaj, he didn't mean to offend anybody, but he didn't mean intentionally, directly, he wanted to offend. But somehow he thought, okay, I go to the forest alone, I'll be alone with Krishna. But Krishna is never alone. Krishna is always with his devotees. So we cannot have Krishna without having the association of the devotees. Of course, we are reading in today's verse that there is place for personal relationship with the super soul. Even if one appears to be alone, one is never alone because the Lord within the heart is there. But in this second lifetime, as a deer, Bharata Maharaj had learned the lesson and he will be living in Pulaha Ashram. So he will have his own space, he will have his personal relationship with Krishna, but he will be in the association of devotees. And he didn't reveal what had happened to him previously. That's also telling that it is not so much about ourselves. It is about serving Krishna. So Bharata Maharaj, he was not, of course, sometimes we reveal to friends what we're going through and so on, and that's natural. But Bharata Maharaj, he thought it is not so important, and it was like a secret. He was learning, and what he had learned, that was a jewel the Lord had given him, that he was able to remember the Lord in the body of a deer. And this made him very humble, that he had received such a great gift. So we should be careful not to commit offenses against Vaishnavas. If we commit offenses against Vaishnavas in whatever way, the result may very well be that we will stop following the regulative principles as Bharat Maharaj did, and then we will have to come back, we will become technically a yoga brashta. Yoga brashta is somebody engaged in the path of yoga, but who doesn't complete the service, the seva, and then has to come back to continue in another, even if in a family of transcendentalists. And that's not, in one sense, it's not a problem. If we come back with devotees, okay, it's fine, we're serving, so it's not a big problem. But Srila Prabhupada taught us to desire, and perhaps that's another reason why we were saying in one lifetime, because this was the teaching of the founder Acharya. Go back, come back to Godhead in one lifetime. And certainly it is possible by remembering Krishna at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti. If we're able to remember the Lord at the time of death, then we are going back home, back to Godhead, by the mercy of the devotees who help us to remember Krishna and who teach us how to remember Krishna. Any comments or questions? Vaiko? He could have spoken, I don't know how, with the deers for sure he could have communicated in his deer way. And with the human beings, he was a special deer, so how he could, but he didn't disclose. Let's read what the translations say. Without disclosing his past to anyone, so that means possibly he could have disclosed, otherwise why it is mentioned. He remained in that ashrama and ate dry leaves only. So he didn't go to the ashram saying, you know who I am? Sometimes people, I don't know if you met some people who told you, how many incarnations of Jesus did you meet, Jesus Christ? I met quite a few. How many did you meet? You didn't meet any? I met quite a few people who tell you I'm Jesus Christ. I met Jesus Christ, I met Kalki Avatar, I met Attila, I met St. John the Baptist, people who say, sorry for being a bit sarcastic here, but people who remember their past lives, they never tell you I was a poor beggar in the street, I was a sweeper, I was a person in a tribe in Africa, very hungry, in great difficulty. Normally nobody tells you in a previous lifetime he or she was something like that. But Bharata Maharaj truly remembered his past lifetime as the emperor of the world. And he didn't go to others and say, do you know who I was in my previous lifetime? I was the great King Bharata. But he kept to himself. And he was actually very happy that the Lord had given him such a mercy that he could remember him and maintain his relation. He could have the association of devotees, which he had missed in his previous lifetime. Due to that offense, he had to come back. And now he was in ecstasy that he had understood the lesson. I mean, I don't know. The details are not given how much he could communicate with human beings, if he could say something. But from the verse, it seems that at least he could have communicated to the deers in his own way. But he was a supernatural deer, so he could have somehow communicated. Yes, I mean, it's difficult. Sometimes we read this. This seems to be like a rule. If somebody falls down, we'll have to be punished and we'll have to take birth as an animal. In Vrindavan, sometimes Prabhupada writes, and then from that animal life, then goes back home, back to Godhead. This is mentioned. Of course, it is not, even if that's a general rule, it is not a black and white. There are, as you are pointing out, there are many nuances, many cases, many different situations. So it is very difficult to really say. Like some days ago, Gaurahari Prabhu came. He's doing his master in canon law in the University of Leuven. And he showed me one of his books, and was that thick, literally very thick book, canon law. And probably that's not the whole book. I think there are many books like that. So if even for law administered by human beings here, even if it is canon by ruled by the church, there are so many nuances. He was telling me how in the church they have, for each case, they have different prescriptions. Everything is very, very precise, very detailed. But there are many complicated cases. And also one consideration is that the Lord is not mechanistic. Even if material nature is mechanistic, the Lord is not. So he can call anybody back to him at any time, even if that person was, from the technical point of view, from the karmic point of view, was fallen. So the general rule is that, yes, the person who falls takes body of an animal. But if the person continues engaged in devotional service, then in that sense it's not a fall. There is a fall in terms of breaking vows, of not engaging in certain type of sense certification. So therefore there are many nuances and we cannot claim to know. An example in the Bhagavatam to illustrate this, there is the case of Prishadra. Prishadra was a disciple of Vasishtha Muni, whose main service was taking care of the cows. And what he had a vow at night, he will stay up all night with some weapons, a chopper and some other weapons, sword, to protect the cows from wild animals which sometimes will attack the will come near the village to the cowshed to eat when they were very hungry. So he will be there. In one occasion, a tiger attacked a cow at night. And he, in his attempt to protect the cow, he killed the cow. He thought he had killed the tiger, but he actually killed the cow. So that was a mistake. Anyone at any time while in this world, okay, we can say Premi Bhaktas Mahabhagavat, they don't make mistakes. That's true from the transcendental point of view. But even from the human point of view in the social environment, sometimes mistakes are made. Maharashi Taketu, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's estimation, was a Premi Bhakta. And he had to take birth as a demon because he made a mistake of laughing at the wrong time and upsetting Parvati Devi, even though he didn't have any ill intention. In the case of Prishadra, it was a serious mistake. He killed the cow. He wanted to protect the cow, but he killed it. Imagine. So Vasishtha Muni, when he saw him, what he had done, he said, "You are a fool," he told the disciple. "You are a fool." And he cursed the disciple, which Srila Prabhupada says, the guru never should curse the disciple. But Vasishtha Muni, he had so much smart tendency, he cursed him. You become, in the next lifetime, you take birth as a Shudra. Fool. Prishadra, he repented. He felt very repentant by the offense. He took the words of his guru, offered obeisances. He was very repentant by the offense he had committed. And he fully engaged himself in devotional service. And the Bhagavatam describes that he didn't take birth again as anything. He went back home, back to Godhead in that very lifetime. By karma, by the curse, he had to take birth again, by the law. But the mercy of the Lord is greater than the law. So we find the general rule is yes, we take birth again, as Shudra, as animal, as something. But then the mercy of the Lord is there at any time, it can come back. What about the case of in the case of Bilba Mangal, he became, after instruction, he became totally dedicated. The instruction of Chintamani, the prostitute, he became totally dedicated to the service of the Lord. So in that sense, the fall down was before. But he went back to Godhead. We assume he went back to Godhead in that very lifetime. His poetry is so beautiful that it's at that will be an explanation, yes. That will be an explanation for those cases who go back to Godhead even if they made mistakes. Or if, yeah. There were more hands in this side. Yamashami Prabhu, you wanted to... But even if we rectify, the Lord may say, you go back. The Lord may have some plans for us also. Or may we may need to... Yes? The Lord, he engages his devotees in different ways. Also, preachers are needed. So sometimes it's good that some don't fully make it in one lifetime. So they come back to preach. Otherwise, who will do the preaching? If everybody goes back... Who will do the work here? Somebody has to do it. Okay. Well, some bhakti should be there, otherwise, oh, it is bhakti yoga. Even if it's bhakti yoga, which is covered by the modes of nature, like Lord Kapiladev describes in the third canto of Bhagavatam, bhakti yoga mixed with passion, ignorance or goodness, but some type of bhakti yoga is there, otherwise it's not bhakti yoga, isn't it? Good. Okay, so you are making the point, if I get you right, you are making the point of the quality of the service. Like, for example, we read in Bhagavad Gita, Patam pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayakchati tataham bhaktu paritam mashnami prayatatmanaha. Krishna says, If someone offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, water, I will accept it. So, and he uses the term bhakti twice. So the only word repeated is bhakti. Because the real ingredient, the real service, is judged by the amount of bhakti which is there. And this is what Krishna is interested in. So yes, you are right. In bhakti is the essential ingredient. And what we should look for, we should endeavor to cultivate the quality of devotion. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.